People like us can make a difference. The Way of the Bodhisattva was composed in India over 12 centuries ago, yet it remains remarkably relevant for our times. This classic text, written by the Indian sage Shantideva, gives surprisingly up-to-date instructions for people like you and me to live sanely and open-heartedly even in a very troubled world. It is the essential guidebook for fledgling bodhisattvas, those spiritual warriors who long to alleviate suffering, their own and that of others. Thus it belongs to the Mahayana, the school of Buddhism that emphasizes all-inclusive compassion and the cultivation of our flexible, unbiased wisdom mind. According to tradition, to write a commentary on a text such as The Way of the Bodhisattva or Bodhicaryavatara in Sanskrit, one must have advanced spiritual realization or have been directed in a dream to compose such a treatise. Since I, unfortunately, have neither qualification, I simply offer this teaching with a sincere aspiration that it may help new readers to benefit from Shantideva's text as much as I have. My own appreciation of the Way of the Bodhisattva came about slowly, and only after I became familiar with Patro Rinpoche, the great wandering yogi of 19th century Tibet. From his writings and the outrageous stories told about him, I came to respect and love this man dearly. He had no fixed abode, no belongings, and was very unconventional and spontaneous in his behavior. Yet he was a powerful and very wise teacher whose spiritual realization manifested in all the situations of his life. He related to people with great compassion and tenderness, but also with ruthless honesty. When I discovered that Patro Rinpoche had taught this text hundreds of times, it caught my attention. He would wander around Tibet teaching anyone who would listen, rich and poor, nomads and aristocrats, scholars and people who had never studied the Buddhist teachings. Hearing this, I thought, if this eccentric man, this dedicated yogi, loved the text so much, there must be something to it. So I began to study it in earnest. Some people fall in love with the Way of the Bodhisattva the first time they read it, but I wasn't one of them. Truthfully, without my admiration for Patro Rinpoche, I wouldn't have pursued it. Yet once I actually started grappling with its content, the text shook me out of a deep-seated complacency, and I came to appreciate the urgency and relevance of these teachings. With Shantideva's guidance, I realized that ordinary people like us can make a difference in a world desperately in need of help. I also began to wish for a less scholarly commentary than those available, one that might reach a wide audience and be accessible even to people who know nothing of the Buddhist teachings. For these reasons, when I was requested to teach the Way of the Bodhisattva at Gampo Abbey's monastic college, I was eager to give it a try. The transcripts of those talks form the basis of this book. My commentary on Shantideva's teaching is very much a student's view and a work in progress. Unquestionably, with the help of my teachers, my understanding of these verses will deepen considerably over time. Nevertheless, I am truly delighted to share my enthusiasm for Shantideva's instructions. The first chapter of the Bodhicaryavatara is an extended praise of bodhicitta. Shantideva starts on a positive note. We can connect with the very best of ourselves and help others to do the same. Bodhicitta is a basic human wisdom that can drive away the sorrows of the world. Bodhi means awake, free from ordinary confused mind, free from the illusion that we're separate from one another. Citta means heart or mind. According to Shantideva and the Buddha before him, the unbiased mind and good heart of Bodhi hold the key to happiness and peace. Shantideva begins his teaching with a traditional four-part opening. First, he expresses his gratitude and respect. Second, he makes a commitment to complete his presentation. Third, he expresses humility. And in verse 3, he rouses confidence. This formal beginning was very familiar to the monks of Nalanda, but its personal touch and freshness made it unique. 1.1. To those who go in bliss, the Dharma they have mastered, and to all their heirs, to all who merit veneration, I bow down. According to tradition, I shall now in brief describe the entrance to the Bodhisattva discipline. These opening lines pay homage to the three jewels, the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. In the standard formula, the historical Buddha is regarded as an example or role model. The Dharma refers to his teachings, and the Sangha to the monastic practitioners and advanced bodhisattvas. Here, however, Shantideva takes our understanding of the three jewels deeper. Those who go in bliss naturally includes the Buddhas, but it also refers to our own potential. We too can free ourselves from the hopes and fears of self-centeredness. The bliss of perceiving reality without these limitations is our birthright. Thus, Shantideva doesn't bow down to something outside himself, but to his own capacity for enlightenment. He venerates those who have realized what remains possible for us all. The Dharma they have mastered refers not only to written and oral teachings, but also to the truth of direct experience, to straightforward, unedited life as it is. Whatever happens to us, good, bad, happy, or sad, can free us from self-absorption. If we make use of these ever-present opportunities, then everything we encounter is Dharma. All their heirs refers to the mature Sangha with its great sanity and compassion, but also includes aspiring bodhisattvas. All of us willing to move beyond our self-importance and find ways to care for each other are considered the Buddha's heirs. Finally, to express his gratitude to all who merit veneration, he bows to the teachers and friends who have helped him along the path.